Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm amazing. I'm so happy to be back. How are you?
I'm so hyped we're back. It's happening. It's the Grand Prix season.
It's season four.
It is season four. I was sound checking, and I always do like a welcome to sound check, the sound check where I check my sound. And then I say like whatever I'm sound checking for. And I was like, we're doing season four? Season four. And I had to open up Twitter to see when we joined Twitter, because I was like, there's no way it's season four, but it is season four.
It is. We kind of technically started halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And the first one. But like Parks and Rec has a short first season and they still call it the first season. So like it's fine.
It's the season that true fans are like, you know what? It's not that good, but you have to sit through it.
Just get through it. Yeah. So we are here with season four of the Iced Tea Podcast. Skate America is a very special event for us because it's our four-year anniversary of watching skating together.
Oh my God, it's so cute. It is. It continues to be the funniest fucking thing that we never talked about this while we were in grad school. And then it just kind of happened because we were both sad is the real story there.
No, it's true. We had both gone to grad school and then lived in New York for a year and then around the same time moved back to our respective homelands, me in Rhode Island and Netta in Bulgaria. And
equally far away from where we went to grad school.
Yeah, equally far. It was equally traumatic for both of us. No, but we were both sad and living at home and like watching TV together over the internet a lot. And I had just gone through my Yuri on Ice discovery phase because it came out when we were in grad school, but I didn't have time to watch it. So I finally watched it. And I was like, oh my God, remember how much I used to love watching ice skating? This season, I'm going to watch it. And then Skate America was coming. And Netta was like, let's watch TV. I was like, do you want to watch this ice skating competition? And they were like, how have we never talked about this?
Yeah, that is how all of this started, was just, turns out we had one more shared interest. And now there's thousands of y'all out there and we get to do this every week. So that's fun.
It is fun. And it was very cool to celebrate the four-year anniversary by having Skate America in Boston, technically in Norwood, which is actually very close to me. It's much closer to me than actual Boston. So thank you, Skating Club of Boston, for moving much closer to me.
and I got to actually go. Boston. I'm so excited for you to talk to me about that. I have so many questions. I also think that arena is so beautiful and I can't wait to hear about it in real life. It's as pretty, it looks so fucking nice there. Should we do some more intro stuff and then just go right into this?
Yeah, sure. So if you're brand new to skating, welcome. Or like if you just got into it during the Olympics and this is your first full season or like whatever, we actually have an intro series that we recorded back like pre-Olympics to sort of get people acquainted with like what are the rules of figure skating and what do we do on our show and stuff. So we'd recommend you go back and listen to that if you want like a really thorough intro. Some of it's outdated just because there have been like small rules changes and also like Russia's not allowed to compete. So a lot of what we talk about with regard to like Russia and age limits and stuff, like a little outdated, but for the most part it holds up. So I would say like check that out if you're not sure. Warning, we do swear on this podcast. It's just how we talk. Sometimes people get upset about it, to which I say we rate the podcast explicit. So if you don't like swears, you shouldn't listen to explicit podcasts. And if you don't, I don't know, like you don't go to the beach and then give it a bad Yelp rating because it has sand. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't like
sand. I'm sure people do. But please don't be that person. I promise everything we do is with good intentions. And if we get a little bit excited and we say the F word a lot, it's because we're excited about this thing that we love very much. Also, what else? We are a fan podcast. We're not sports journalists. We're theater people. And we come at all of this from kind of a theater perspective and performance perspective and music perspective more than we do technical. Also, we're biased because we're human beings with opinions. And we promise you can listen to us and have a good time even if you don't agree with like 100% of like who our favorites are, or like if we thought this one dress was pretty and you didn't, it doesn't need to be the end of this friendship, I promise.
Yeah, like I think that skating fandom can get kind of cutthroat, and I think we forget that like part of what's fun about skating is like having playful debates with your friends about, was this dress horrible? Or, like, did this person slay or flop? and is that, like, appropriate language for you to be using as the person you are? So
all that fun stuff. How do you do, fellow kids?
How do you do, fellow kids?
Is this dress a slay?
Is this dress a slay or a nay? and so forth. We have gotten some feedback in the past of saying, like, oh, like, you know, you focus a lot on this skater, but it's not really fair that you don't focus as much on this skater, to which we say, like, actually, there is no such thing as fairness, because we never said that we were going to be fair. We just talk about who we like, and we probably talk about them more than people we don't like as much. But we do like to think that we are intelligent and have spent a lot of time sort of studying and talking about, like, you know, what are, like, cool ways to talk about performance art in general. So we promise we're not going to be like, they suck, end of story. Like, we provide justification, but we're also not, like, we have no influence over anybody. Like, we're not, like, in the pocket of anybody, and we're not, like,
I wish we were. Oh my God, if you want to pay me to be nice about anyone, our Patreon link is all over the place. You can hit us up.
Yeah, and, like, on the rare occasions where we are provided with complimentary tickets to see anything, we will let you know. Like, this was not one of those times I paid my own – well, I paid podcast money to see Skate America, so thank you, Patreon.
Thank you, Patreon.
But anyway, that's all we have to say. Disagree with your friends about skating. It's fun and normal. Just don't be a dick about it.
Yeah, having playful discussions about media and sports is good, actually. Changed my mind. Anyway, this is Skate America. What is Skate America?
This is Skate America.
This is Skate America.
It happened in my area.
Are you going to be a rapper now? Is that what's happening?
No. Or I could say, like, unless you subscribe to our Patreon and pay us, like, $5 million, I will become a rapper. And that could be a threat. No, Skate America is the first of the Grand Prix series. The Grand Prix series is, like, the big one, the big event competition series of the fall semester of skating, I guess, like, the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. There are other competitions, like the Challenger series, that are sort of considered, like, B-level competitions. This is, like, the A-level. It is kind of a seeded tournament, I guess, is how I describe it. It's not exactly a seeded tournament in, like, a March Madness sense, but it's, you know, a tournament where people are kind of put into various competitions roughly based on, like, let's balance out people from different countries and let's make sure that all the best people don't go head-to-head right away, etc. So Skate America is the first event of six, and then there is the final in December where the people who did the best in the first six events go head-to-head.
That's basically it. And it is kind of, I don't know if it's correct to say it's considered the beginning of the figure skating season, because figure skating season technically begins in the summer with all of the Challenger series, and people have, like, local events nationally and all of that. But it's the first big one. It's the first event where everyone kind of, like, starts seeing what the season is going to be like. And if you watched with ISU commentary this week, like I did, you would hear a lot of, like, oh, it's early in the season, all of those programs are only going to get better and better. So it's very much considered, like, the start of here's where everyone's at right now. And by the time it's, like, winter time in January, February, when nationals and all of the international big ones, like Europeans and Worlds, start happening, everyone will be even better, which is crazy to think, because we had a very good first event.
Yeah, seriously. And, like, we'll get into it, but also, like, history was made at one of those smaller events mm-hmm. earlier this year, so.
You never know.
Anyways.
Men?
Shall we start with men? Because they went first.
Oh my God, let's talk about men. Where do we even, well, we're gonna do this the way we've been doing it in past seasons, where we're gonna talk at length about the people who ended up on the podium, and then we're gonna do honorable mentions, and we're gonna do our best to not get extremely distracted, because my God, what a field. All of them good. Everyone amazing.
All of them good.
All of them
everyone
good.
Amazing.
Welcome to the IC podcast. Episode. All of them good. Everyone amazing. The end.
No notes. Okay. In third place with the bronze medal, we have Junwon Cha from the Republic of Korea.
Oh my God. Oh my God. He's a whole man. It was his birthday. He is, what, 21 years old now, which feels insane. Both of Junwon's programs this year work for him so well. It is simply a genius selection of programs, and I... Well, you saw one of them live, so talk to me with men. This is going to be the whole thing. You saw the Free Skates live, so let's just start there.
Yeah. So, like you said, I'm kind of floored that he's like a whole-ass adult now. In my heart, he's Baby Jay, who showed up 4 years ago and randomly ended up on the Grand Prix final podium, and we were like, who is this child?
A little
and
baby.
Now he's getting, you know, cakes from Brian Orser and Jason Brown and turning older ages and all that good stuff. But yeah, so I do want to say I think his short program is great. It's Michael Jackson. It's a weird, insane Michael Jackson cut. Like, it's fucking weird and bizarre. Like, it's all of it, just you have to listen to it because it's like chaotic and up-tempo and like a weird selection. But I enjoyed
it.
I found it very hype.
He moonwalks in real life.
He does moonwalk.
On figure skates.
Yeah, and I bet that's harder on ice. I think some people would maybe say it's not. I bet it is. I think everything's harder on ice.
Oh, for sure. I never learned how to moonwalk. I've had several people try to teach me, and I just think it's a magic trick, so I was very impressed. He, like, gyrates. It's a whole thing. It's a whole situation.
Yeah, well, okay, so, but the Free Skate, he does James Bond, and, like, first of all, we know I love James Bond. I very rarely, if ever, have seen a James Bond program where I've been like, no, I always love a James Bond program. And I think that Jinwon did a fantastic job, as we say in English. I think he did fantastically. He didn't have his very best, like, technical skate, but I was just really impressed with, I don't know, like, how far he's come with his sort of, like, not stage presence, like rink presence. And
I think it's still stage presence.
Yeah, and I just feel, and I say this with so much love, but if he were to ever make a face, my God, it would be over for everybody.
I have never noticed him not making a face, but yeah, now that you bring it up.
Like, recall in your mind one time that he made a face. You can't.
I can't, you're right. God bless him.
Which is fine, because it's, like, amazing what he's doing, considering that he's not using his face at all. I don't know. It's funny, because on the one hand, I feel like I have so much to say about the Free Skate, and then I think back, and I'm like, actually, I was just, like, screaming the whole time, and I don't know if I can, like, be coherent about it. But I will say that Jinwon Cha in all black is so striking, and he understands that, and he uses it to his advantage. He has the perennial slutty back detail in the blouse, but this time, as friend of the pod Jules pointed out, he also has sort of a turtleneck dicky situation and fluttery sleeves, so really pulled out all the stops on the blouse.
I'm obsessed with this blouse. I know I said this over text, but I'm going to say it for the benefit of the people as well. It reminds me of that one Hilary Swank dress from the Oscars in like 2007, you know, where it's the turtleneck, all petrol blue, and then the extremely low, slutty back cutout, which when I was like 13 years old, hard reset my brain as like the gold standard of how to be super classy and slut at the same time. And I respect
it's
the turtleneck and an open back.
It's the definition of business in the front, party in the back.
It is. It's that meme with the guy in the suit, you know?
Yes, exactly. That is sort of Jinwon's costume. It's that meme of the guy with the suit.
I love that we've arrived here 15 minutes into the season.
Yeah, this is great. It's fine. He,
if anyone wants to Photoshop Jinwon's face into that one meme, I would deeply appreciate it.
Yeah, preferably, like, take some of the model shots from, like, the Korean Vogue photo shoot, because they exist.
They do exist, for sure.
Yeah, no, and I thought it was great. I think that is the one thing I wish had happened was, as we all know, the best part, aside from the Juna Bauer, which is incredible, and everybody went apeshit for the most beautiful Ina Bauer
well
in the
deserved.
World. Well deserved. But in addition to the Juna Bauer, the other signature that I love from this man is his little clock arm choreography, and I miss it this year. And I felt like there were missed opportunities because he skates to No Time to Die.
Oh my God. Hi.
It's right there.
I was gonna praise Shailene Bourne and talk about the Bourne supremacy. But you're right. There is no clock arms. Fucking throw the whole program away.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a Michael Jackson. There's 100 bajillion Michael Jackson songs. Like, surely there are ones with references
with a clock. Time.
Like, off the top of my head, he could have done Thriller and been like, "It's close to midnight," and had clock arms.
Oh God, that to me would have been approaching midnight. I'm doing the clock arms right now. I know no, this I am is an too. Audio medium, but I'm doing the
you
clock arms.
You can't see us, but picture
happy
us
Halloween,
doing clock
everyone.
Arms.
So we have some notes regarding clocks. Everything else perfect.
Yeah, we went on this long rant about, like, we're actually, like, we went to graduate school for performance studies, and, like, we're so, like, and we're like, what if every
arms.
Time they said the word time, you pretended to be a clock?
That is camp, actually. I think that's high camp, and we've reverted all the way back to where it is, performance art.
Correct. So, super happy for him, and it was honestly just really cool to see him. It's, like, one of those... I don't know, one of those skaters that I was kind of surprised I hadn't seen yet. And then yeah. I was like, oh my God, like, what an honor. What a joy.
It's always weird. I mean, I say always, I've seen like world-class skating once in real life, but with going to like the theater or something, it's always weird when you see people that you're used to seeing on screen and or like musicians or something, and then they're real people in front of you. Even though, like, I've grown up in the theater and all that, like, I'm used to people from the screen being in real life. It always causes, like, a level of cognitive dissonance where I'm like, this is insane that this is a real person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I had a weird experience during the free skates. This is a sidetrack, but it's a short one, where I could see you on screen sometimes, and I was like, oh my God, that's my bestie, and I can see her right there. And it was like, it was as important to me as the figure skating that was happening, that I was like, Megan's right there, and I know what she's doing right now. It was fun.
That is so sweet. So you had the opposite for me where you're like, oh, I'm not used to seeing this person on the screen. I guess you are now thanks to like the technology of the internet, but.
The technology, yes.
The technology. Yeah, I was right up next to that platform where they have like a TV camera and DJ Romeo and the guy who announces the, I don't know his name. I think of him as Ryan Skatecrest. The guy who does all the weird like. Well, we're in the arena. Blah, 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 blah. Now we're going to play a weird game with a guy in the audience.
We're going to force this man from the audience to guess songs from like 30 years ago.
It was so uncomfortable being very close to that.
Oh, God.
I want that man's job, though. Not the song guesser guy, but Ryan Skatecrest. I think I would be good at that if he ever wants to retire.
I'm sure you could reach out to the Skating Club of Boston and be like, hi, I have a long record of talking about figure skating on a microphone.
Well, this dude is also, like, I think he's a USFS guy because he's at Nationals as well.
So I think respect just, like, him so much.
He and DJ Romeo, I believe, are in the employ of US figure skating. So they're
if they ever want to retire, you could do both of their jobs.
I actually probably could, yeah. but I don't know if part of the job description is playing that really, really slow version of Pump It. I think I might have to just resign on ethical reasons.
What if you get this job and every time you do an event, you just play it slightly faster and just gaslight people?
Slightly slower, I feel like, would be the worst option.
Yeah, but then you'd have to resign on ethical principle.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're talking about me being, like, a vigilante and being the change I want to see from the
inside. Yeah, but, like, ever so slightly, just gaslighting people into thinking that this is always the BPM it was at this event.
Yeah, being a gaslighting DJ is one of my aspirations.
DJ Gaslight in the house.
DJ Gaslight.
Anyway, Kalmira won silver.
Kalmira won silver. What a little guy. He's so little. First of all, he's younger than Ilya. Like, we think of Ilya as the child. Kao is, like, born the year after Ilya.
Insane.
So he's baby. Also, he was so very small. Like, a lot of male figure skaters are short kings, and that's just, like, Stan. But, like, this kid, I couldn't believe it. Like, all I could think of was the meme of the kitten that's two sauce long. He was so little. He was so short and tiny, and he spun with, like, so much force and, like, rotation. It was like watching, like, a little, like, firecracker that became a human.
I have to bring some drama into this. Someone has lied on their ISU bio because him and Ilya are allegedly the same height. And also he has said, Kao has said, let me just translate this to American feet. That sounds terrible.
Oh, I thought you were going to translate it from Japanese. I'm like, excuse me, did you learn Japanese in the off-season? God, I wish.
No, Kao has claimed that he is 5'6", which is the same height as Ilya.
Absolutely no way.
So as a person who recently, I went to get my international passport renewed, and there is a little section where you write down your height, and I always round up by 1 centimeter, but I can see the temptation of just like, lying about your height when you're a short king slash maybe royalty of any gender.
Maybe in skates,
but they like technically skates have like, if anything, their skates would, they're the same height of like ish of heel and blade. Anyway, I feel like Kao has lied on his, because he's that's 168 for Europeans, and that's not short. Like, for reference, Shoma is 10 centimeters shorter than that. And that just doesn't sound feasible. Look, also, this doesn't matter. I'm just, like, entertained by
it. No, it doesn't. Like, I could be full of it. I could have just, I mean, like, I have, Lord knows I don't have perfect eyesight. He seemed very small. He had a small vibe.
I mean, that's a completely different thing. Like, sometimes you just have small vibe. He's just little. True.
Vibes with a lowercase v. first of all, I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen him before. I'm like, wait a minute. Yes, I have. He was literally a medalist at Four Continents last year, but just so much has happened since then that I just, like, whole lifetime of skating bullshit has happened since Count Miura was on the podium at Skate America 2022. I mean, at Four Continents 2022.
That's also true. That's actually also true.
It's been, like, 2 days. And
it's been two days. The world's different. He's a very exciting, like, new addition to the people to watch list. He's very much staked his claim, I guess, at showing up at international events and being so fucking good. Also, I'm just now seeing, I opened up his Wikipedia page, and apparently this year he has performed somewhere 2 different free skates. He has the beautiful Beauty and the Beast that he did and was gorgeous, and he looked so pretty. He also has a Phantom, apparently.
Phantom having a moment right now.
Yeah, what is up with Phantom? He didn't do the Phantom, so maybe he was like, you know what, we've seen enough.
Yeah, have we not seen enough Phantom? Have we not Phantomed enough? I think Phantom and Piazzolla slash, like, anything vaguely Spanishy adjacent always has, like, a big moment right after the Olympics for reasons that I could not quite possibly explain to you. But I liked his Piazzolla. I'm hard on Piazzolla because I just think it's overdone in skating.
Yeah.
And, like, also slash as somebody who, like, works in the music world is also something I encounter, like, at work. Like, it's just everywhere. But I really liked this one. And I said this on Twitter, but I think that if you're going to do Piazzolla, I want to feel like I'm doing Adderall in Buenos Aires with you. And that is what Cal Miura brought to the table at his short. And also, like, he didn't pick any of the boring, snoozy Piazzolla tangos.
I really enjoyed a Piazzolla moment. Is that a hot take?
No, like, I do too. I missed it. And now I'm, like, stoked about it because it at least sort of, like, brings out a certain level of performance and intensity in a skater. And I like that he chose all the ones that sound like, you know, there's Piazzollas that are, like, slow and sexy, and then there's ones where it sounds like he's, like, taking an accordion and beating it against a brick wall. Like, I prefer the latter. I think it's more exciting.
It is.
And I thought it worked well for the chaotic energy of Kao as he just zoomed around.
Yeah, I agree. It's always fun in a post-Olympic year when we get all of the, what we like to call clapping and slapping programs with the vague Spanish slash tango vibes. It grounds me in a reality where at least one thing is certain in this lifetime, and it is seeing someone skate out in red and black and knowing that they're going to clap and slap, and it just makes me happy. It just gives me like a sense of certainty, you know?
No, it does. It's grounding. And Cal Miura is the king of opulent costumes.
He is.
Like, shiny embroidery, different fabrics. Like, the Beast costume.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
And when he took off his jacket and he revealed that he had a little vest and a little, like, fluffy tie ascot situation, the whole crowd went, aww.
That is amazing. I know we're going to talk about this in Plushy Corner later, but I do want to say, because it's part of the performance, that he got a red rose, like one of those big plushy roses, after his Beauty and the Beast program. And I thought that was just poetic. It was so part perfect. Of it for me personally. It was like the little epilogue of this program.
My dirty secret is that I hate those roses. Like, I can't stand them. And I thought this was like the one appropriate time. I know this could be what ends our friendship.
This is it. Argue with your friends about figure skating, but if you disagree about plushies, it's over.
Yeah, it's over. That's some serious shit, and it's not negotiable. There's a difference between opinions and like ethics. No.
You can disagree on what pizza toppings you like, but you cannot disagree about plushies.
No, you can't. I hate them because they're not cute. Like they don't have, like, if maybe give it a face and then it's cute, right? But they're not cute. They don't look fun to hug because they're wiry.
Megan, where would you put the face on a rose?
On the rose.
I need you to show me on the rose where you'd put a face.
On the flower part. That would be insane to put it anywhere else.
But like where? On the outside of the rose or like inside the petals? Because a rose is like infamously like a bud that opens up. It what doesn't have like a center.
You have to dig around for the face a little and it's like interactive. That. This is what I'm saying is like, I don't think that anything that could not feasibly have a face put onto it should be a plushie. And it annoys me because, okay, we'll get into this. There are exceptions to this.
So much is happening.
There are exceptions to this. But the reason I think in particular I hate plushie flowers is that that's like the only other thing that you could just throw and it didn't need to be a plushie. Like you can't throw a real bear on the ice, so it's got to be a plushie. But you could throw a plastic rose. I mean, I don't know if that would be allowed, but
I'm sure
if you feel... If you feel like you want to throw a baby black bear cub at like Cowmy or a, it's probably like about the same size.
I think that would be extremely legal and maybe lethal for the baby black bear, actually.
I wonder, okay, so assuming the black bear could land and be fine, and assuming we keep the mother away, because that's the real problem with bear cubs, right, is like the mothers. So I actually wonder if maybe like putting, you know, an international medalist skater in ice skates on an ice rink versus a bear who like maybe can walk on ice because bears live in cold weather, but like it's probably confused by where it is. Maybe that's the only time that a human could really like have a chance against
have
a bear.
You reinvented bullfighting, but now it's bears and it's people in figure skates.
Yes, that is actually what I have done.
And Carmen is playing in the background, obviously, the entire time.
Yeah, because it's the season after the Olympics, it has to be Carmen.
Oh my god, we haven't heard a single Carmen, actually.
I'm waiting. I'm wondering if it's going to be a while or if it's going to be, like, soon. I think it's got... There has to be one. There
I'm
going to
be honest with you.
Long.
So much has happened since the last time we had a Carmen season that I would weep. I feel like if anyone skated to a good Carmen right now, I would just feel so emotional that I would actually cry.
Yeah, I would welcome that. So anyway, I don't like the plushie roses. I think it just throw a real plastic rose or throw a cuter, more huggable plushie is my opinion. But that's, you know, not the official opinion of the podcast. We disagree.
Yeah, because I think it's cute. I'm currently sketching. If you hear a little tapping noise, it's me trying to draw a rose to figure out where the face would go.
I guess the side. Maybe I'm thinking the side could work.
I don't know.
We'll have to table this, and we have the whole Grand Prix season to figure it out.
Yeah, if anyone has any pitches, please feel free to tweet us at IcedPod and let us know. Megan, I feel like we're stalling because we got to talk about a moment that hard reset figure skating for the rest of time.
Yep. I did, in fact, see a quad axel with my own eyes, and I only went temporarily blind for 24 hours. The drive home was interesting, but...
I'm happy you're alive. I was worried I was going to have to audition your co-host.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like when you know those stories about seeing, like, a biblical angel and, like, you go blind because you just can't handle it?
Yeah.
It was, like, in the moment that Ilya was in the air, he grew all these wings with eyeballs on them. And it was just overwhelming for me. No.
That would explain how he managed it, was if he had wings.
That's true. And lots of eyes, you know, to see while he's up there. No, okay. So, first of all, like, the short program happened. He had on a vest and then he took it off and it was, like... Fine. It was a weird vest, but kind of would have been cute. And that's what I remember about it, because it was everything was rewritten by the Free in my head.
Well, yeah, but we got to talk about the short just real quick, because it is another one in the short but fantastic history of the Quad God, where the music choice makes absolutely no fucking sense for this boy.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I was actually going to say this about Kao Miura, too, where, like, I've loved his Beauty and the Beast, but, like, it's really funny to have, like, a very young, small teenage boy skating to, like, the, like, only baritone arias in the Broadway canon, aside from, like, Phantom, which apparently he also skated to. It's just really funny. I feel like there's, it's very playing against type. But I think Kao made it work. I think Ilya is continuing to have the weirdest song choices on earth. You are right. I Put a Spell on You. Like, what?
I Put a Spell on You is a fucking insane choice for, well, I would argue anyone of skating age, including, like, Dina Stilato, who is, like, 39 years old. I feel like it's up there with, like, Rose's Turn in terms of, like, how, why.
Okay, but now I want Ilya to skate to Rose's Turn.
What?
Now I want Ilya to skate to Rose's Turn.
Oh my god, yes. I feel like someone tell him when is it his turn. I would respect it. Also, I have figured out how to put Eyes on a Rose, and I'm gonna...
And now it is Rose's turn.
And now it is Rose's turn. There you go. We've gone full circle. All of it makes sense. This is a deeply accursed image. I question. He could do anything. He could literally do any song and it would be fine. Why? Like, truly, Quad God, if you want to get on the show and just let us know how and why, I would respect it, please.
Ooh, it just started raining. I don't know if you can hear that. That was the Quad God, who is also the Weather God, being, like, mad that we're questioning him. Yeah, I wonder if there's a conversation at all around, like, he's really, really young, but he needs to be taken super seriously. So, like, let's give him the most adult music possible. But I don't think anyone has realized that just makes him seem younger.
That is... Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sold.
But then, like, the Free Skate is to Euphoria, which is notoriously about teenagers, and so that works, I guess, because he's a teen. I don't think anybody was really like, oh, yeah, the music, the choreography. Like, I don't know if that was, like, the thing with the Free Skate. But.
I'm going to be honest. I was thinking about it this morning, and I was like, I could not tell you what that music was.
Well, I think it's smart to make it kind of generic. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's not generic to you if you're, like, really into Euphoria. I haven't seen that show, really. I think I saw the clip of, was there a clip where somebody writes, like, Harry Styles fan fiction?
I feel like, girl. I think this show.
I think somebody sent me that clip once and I thought it was funny, but yeah, I haven't really seen it. So maybe it's iconic to you if you're really into the show. To me, it felt like, I mean, I actually really like Labyrinth.
Like, teens doing, like, drugs and making insane choices, and I'm not implying that this child is on drugs, because he wouldn't, because no one has ever done that in figure skating. No, I joke, of course, but he is a teenager doing insane things, so I guess,
well, yeah,
that's
like doing
a
things,
line
doing things that it's like, what high schooler would really do that, you know? But I wish
Zendaya being just amazing, and then Ilya Malinin doing a quad axle, and then the rest of his program, which was equally as insane, we gotta say. So,
I think that Ilya Malinin could star in an HBO show, but Zendaya could not do a quad axle.
change
my mind. I do wish Ilya had sprung for a little bit of that, like, Euphoria makeup, like the really bold kind of, like, colors, shapes, but I understand that, you know, we're just getting there. He did have kind of like a drag Spider-Man outfit, which I liked. But anyway, okay, so we got to talk about the quad axle. Okay, so this is not the first quad axle that he has landed in international competition. That was at the US Classic, like, last month. Oh my god, the thunder.
I'm not hearing it. That? I think you're good.
Okay, sorry. My mic is really, really good at not picking up background noise, but it's, like, really intense thunder.
Hope it lets us finish this episode. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus. So he... Okay, so he landed the very first quad axel in international competition that I believe was like ratified and landed and fully rotated and all that at the US Classic earlier this year, which is kind of a huge embarrassment for everyone involved except for him, because Peacock, NBC's lovely, wholesomely named streaming service. Yeah, where they're like, pay extra money to hear commentary you don't want. And now they're doing this new thing this year where they're like, oh, you want to watch VODs of this? Too fucking bad. We're not saving it. But they, like, own it. And so it's really hard. It makes it really hard to find clips of anything if you're in an NBC country like the USA. Mm-hmm. But they just didn't save this event with this historic moment in it. And so
They could have made the call and they didn't.
And I know they have it somewhere. I think they did put it on YouTube, but, like, that's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
And do better, Peacock, because, like, right now, my QQ man is still number one to me. He just softly says things in Mandarin, and I don't understand, but I trust him. I think he's probably right, whatever he's saying. So anyway, yeah, the quad axel. So I'll describe to you my experience of the quad axel, which was I knew it was coming. The second the program started, I think me and everyone in the arena was just sort of watching for the setup because we knew it was coming. We knew he was probably going to do it first to get it out of the way and, like, use all the fresh stamina on it. So he starts coming and he starts coming around the rink. And I'm like, oh, my God, is he going to do this fairly close to me? Oh, my God, he's going to do it right in front of me. He did it, like, right in front of me. I was fairly high up. I was in the 10th row, but it's a really small arena. It only has 11 rows and it's like very raked stadium seating. Mm-hmm. So like 10th row is still really good. And I got like the bird's eye view of it and saw everything. The thing about the quad axel is like the thing that distinguished it for me was like, you know how when you're watching a figure skating jump, you see it happening. And by the time you see it happening, it's already over. Like, by the time you have the thought they're in the air, they're not in the air anymore.
Yeah.
The quad axel, you have that thought and he's still in the air. And that was what kind of fucked me up, was that I was like, oh my God, he's doing it. And he was still doing it. It just went on forever.
Wow. That is, wow. Yeah, that actually makes sense when you say it like that, because it's a very distinct, it's easier to count the rotations of it, even though it's so fast, just because there's so many of them.
Like, I wasn't even counting. It was so fast, I wasn't even counting. I was just, like, dumbstruck that it was happening in front of me. And the way everyone went crazy, that's how I knew it had been 4.5, because I lost it. The whole crowd lost it. They cheered for, like, a solid 30 seconds. I'm sure you can hear it back on the tape.
Yeah, it felt insane, like, from, like, not being there. The internet just had, like, a collective reaction as well. And then everyone was like, holy shit, everyone in this crowd is still yelling. Which was a very cool, like, historic moment. I feel like all of us were just, in that one moment, so excited at the exact same time. Which is always fun when that happens in skating.
Yeah, and it felt very, it was literally a very similar experience to what I would describe it as. So I, sidebar, like, recently moved to a more rural area, and I went to my first, like, fair ever last month. And so I had never really ridden, like, carnival rides or anything before. And the experience of being on a carnival ride where you're like, I cannot believe it is allowed to go this fast. This is how I die. And this is so much fun, and I am, like, screaming and laughing, and also I think I might pass out, is exactly how I felt during the quad axel and then for the rest of the program. And I was making the same weird scream that I was on that weird carousel roller coaster thing. So
amazing. I can absolutely, like, relate to that feeling and recall how that has felt in the past when I've been on a roller coaster. Can I be very controversial? This is not about the quad axel. I think the quad axel is amazing. I want to be controversial.
Oh, yeah, that was gorgeous. Yeah.
Because it's not my favorite part of this program by a long fucking shot. Actually, none of the jumps are my favorite part, even though he finishes with a triple Lutz triple axel in the second half, which is fucking insane in how and why.
It's a little hat on a hat. Like, smoke him if you got him, but, like, holy shit. Like, imagine being so talented and have so much stamina.
I saw that one tweet of him putting on his little beanie that says quad god, and the caption was, he's crazy but he's free. And I respect that so much. Whoever tweeted that, you're right.
Yeah.
No, but what I want to say, because we've been going so long and we still have to talk about ladies, my favorite part, and I tweeted it, and I was like, someone's gonna dox me for this, but it's fine. He does a 2-in-1 of my favorite things of the Legends of Yore. He does a full run into his choreo sequence, which we know I'm a slut for, and then the choreo sequence is hip hop. It's everything. Yes. It's the best of both worlds. I fucking lost it. It is my favorite part of this entire program is running into a hip hop choreo sequence. Truly the future of figure skating. God bless
him. He is the child of Yuzu and Nathan. And it makes sense because he has on Instagram said that he thinks they should kiss or whatever. He didn't actually say that, but he like sort of did. I don't remember. Don't quote me. He like, I don't know. He made some comment on TikTok about like Yuzu Nathan fanfic. I don't know. The kids are all right is all I will say.
The kids are doing great. And I'm sure he would agree with us. It just those 5 seconds of him running and then the beat dropping have cured me of all of my mental illnesses. And it just made me so happy.
He also did this weird thing where he like, and he almost didn't land it. Where he like tucked up into like a tuck position and then did like a fully horizontal series of barrel rolls. And I was like, I've never seen that before. What is that?
He's an innovator.
You're just making things up.
My other favorite part of the entire program is he finished it. Y'all were going crazy in the crowd. It's like everyone's yelling. It's this whole thing. And then he just did like a little half shrug. Pop off king. Good for you. Just stay humble or like whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I stand this kid. He's funny. It would be so much different if... So much different. Wow. It would be so different if I did not like him. But I think he's very charming, and I think he is cognizant of the fact that he still has so much, like, room to grow, despite the fact that he's an insane technician already. So I'm on board.
Yeah, I think, like, he would be really insufferable if he was, like, an extremely serious, cutthroat person. Like, if he was, like Russian Yuri from Yuri on Ice. Like, being like, I'm a teenager and I'm the best and, like, fuck everybody else. But, like, he's got this very,
Yuri slander and I'm not gonna stand for it.
No, actually. I love him. Like, whatever.
Yeah, you're right. If he was that type of, like, you don't know what I've suffered and, like... The whole thing would
be... move out of the way, grandpas. You know what I mean? But he's not. He's like, I'm a weird little kid. Look what I can do.
Yeah, I respect it so much. And congratulations. And I'm excited to see both of those programs grow. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Shall we do honorable mentions?
Yes. Everyone's so good. No bad people. No notes.
No notes. It was really cool to see Daniel Grassel in person, I will say. I think he had one of the toughest acts to follow ever in the history of figure skating. Like,
I feel like he's used to it at this point, though, because he insanely keeps ending up last at events. So this is, I feel like he's in a unique position where he is used to the psychological warfare of whatever the fuck this was. Yeah, I love both of his programs. Can we talk about Jason Brown?
We absolutely can talk about Jason Brown. I love Daniel's programs this year. And yeah, Jason Brown, like, just continuing to be the most important part of everything.
Regardless of not being in the event, he choreographed Daniel Grassel's short program for whoever doesn't know. And it's insane because it's apparently a pretty new program. They, like, recently made it. You can already see so much of, like, the influence and the understanding of the approach to movement that Jason has, which, first of all, works so well for Daniel, and secondly, makes me very, very excited for a future where Jason gets to do more choreography for people.
Yeah, and, like, I remember that when Jason first saw Daniel afterwards, he was like, the facial expressions were the best part. And I'm like, aww. I love that he's emphasizing that. Can you teach every child how to do facial expressions?
Just have everyone do a Jason workshop for 2 hours.
Yeah. Daniel's free skate was captivating. Sometimes I find him boring, not always. Like, not in a way of like, oh, I hate this, but in a way of like, I just find my attention wandering. Mm. But like the intensity that he brings, it's like in person, like really, really, really shown through.
Amazing.
His technique is chaotic as hell in a way that scared me. And I honestly would have to look back at old competitions to see if that is just how he is or whether it was particularly like scary and weird this weekend. But it's like the way he picks so heavily, his ankle bends at a weird angle, his whole head snaps back like a newborn baby being held incorrectly. It, like every time I was like, he could die.
I will say one of my most favorite moments of this entire event was the free skate. He skates after Ilya. He has the toughest act in the world to follow. He launches himself into the quad lutz, lands it perfectly, and then he just like snaps out of it, like his hair flopping back. It was so dramatic. I was like, this is the epic highs and lows of men's figure skating. I am living my best life. It was so dramatic. Just like the fucking like games on now energy of it. It was so good.
For real. Also, there was a point when he was out doing his little like mini pre program mm-hmm. warm-up and Ilya was waiting for his scores or getting his scores and everyone was going apeshit. And Daniel, I couldn't tell. It looked from where I was sitting like he was covering his ears and like shaking his head. And I felt really bad because I was like, oh no, he's being like psychologically damaged by the cheers for the one. But I think that actually probably that's not what happened. He probably like had something stuck in his ears or something.
I feel like a lot of people that I've heard like interviewed usually say that they try not to hear other people's scores just because it like puts a bug in your head of like, oh, this is what I need. To, like,
oh, that could have been it. It could have been the score as opposed to
the cheers. Yeah. I feel like I've heard a bunch of people be like, I try not to hear the number because then you get distracted doing math instead of performing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else was there? So many people were there.
Koshiro Shimada, like seeing him in person was like the best thing ever. First of all, he has gone through some sort of transformation where he went from baby to like broad-shouldered Dorito-shaped torso man. And it was jarring at first, but rest assured, people, if you saw pictures of Koshiro and were like, oh my God, he's a man now, he looks very different, know that he's still small and he still looks pretty much the same on the ice from where I was sitting. And he did beautifully. He's so like warm and magnetic. And like I tweeted this, but there was a moment where he skated by my section and just like gave us this warm smile and everyone in my immediate vicinity went, oh,
that is amazing. As a known Charlie Chaplin program hater, I've just never enjoyed a Chaplin. Like, I enjoy a lot of skaters who have done a Chaplin, but I usually don't enjoy the actual programs. His free skate brought me so much joy, and I am kind of mad at him about it because I wish I didn't enjoy it, and I did very much have fun with it.
I think you have to have a really, really, really specific vibe as a skater to pull it off, and he has that vibe.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Speaking of vibes, let's talk about Donovan Carrillo.
Oh my God, Donovan Carrillo. Another James Bond.
Another James Bond. And here's the thing about this James Bond. The James Bond that Donovan did at the US Classic was for me the highlight of that event, even though it was technically the first quad axel and it was history. Because it wasn't even like his best skate technically, but if you look at like the choreo sequence, when it's on, like, look at the U.S. Classic Donovan Carrillo performance because he does this, like, absolutely, like, camp moment where he kind of, like, stands up and is just, like, lip-syncing, like, Bond, James Bond. And it's just, like, ah, oh, it's so, so, like, he's... I know that I was just like, I swear on this podcast and I will not apologize for it. I hesitate to say what I want to say, which is that he's serving but he is. And, like... I just love it. So I really wanted to see that moment, but everybody loves him so much to the point where I was actually like feeling bad for the other skaters who were introduced before and after him because like no one cheered as loud. It was like,
yeah, that was, we could hear that in stream as well. Like even like the commentary on ISU stream was like, oh, people love this guy.
Yeah, it's just a connection with the audience. It's a star power. It's hard to, I mean, you could just watch him skate and you get it. It's not like there's anything that you get in person that you're not getting on screen with him. And that's a testament to like how hard he projects personality. Like you're getting it through a television screen too.
Him with Benoit choreography as well is just a match made in heaven. It's so good. And he's grown simply so much. It's, I had like emotions about it because when he gets introduced on like ISU stream, it's like, oh, he's, you know, the first Mexican figure skater to do this and to make it to the Olympics in like 30 years, blah, 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 blah. And it used to be the case of like, oh, look at this case study of this kid from a small Fed who's very, very charming and maybe doesn't have the technical ability of the rest of them. And now he's like very much in the conversation and he like has his quads and he's doing the whole thing. And even when it doesn't work out, it's still like the same level of like, oh, this couldn't work out this time, as is the case for like many people of like bigger Feds. So I'm like just very emotional about his journey and progress.
Yeah, because I do remember that year when everybody was like on Donovan watch constantly to see if he could get his tech minimums for Worlds. Yeah. And everyone was like rooting for him. And now it's like not a question. Of course he can.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just good now.
I love it.
I mean, he's always been good, but now he's technically good. Roman Sadovsky maybe didn't have the time that he wanted at this event, but I stand by my prediction that we're seeing the Romsky redemption season. And this was just step one.
Yeah, my toxic trait is that I really like Angels by Robbie Williams, even though
me
I think it's like
too.
A really corny, like, especially I think in like the UK, it's considered like a super cringe song, but I really like it. I like this version, and seeing him skate live was also really eye-opening, because what I realized seeing him in an arena was like, he skates with this grandiosity, and like every mm-hmm. single movement, every single limb extension is as long as it can possibly be. It's like his arms, he's extending them out past where they can go. Everything is like a total sweeping gesture that is as big as can be in a way that's like graceful and works and is not over the top. It's like he's skating for the back row, and nobody else was bringing that at all at this competition. And that's not like a dig at even the best people, but like that was just something that he was on a whole nother level with.
It's just like a matter of style as well, an approach to movement. I've been seeing a lot of memeified hate towards this beautiful man. And my appeal to those people is to simply go outside for like half a minute, look at the sun, enjoy the breeze. I'm not going to say touch grass, but if you got grass, touch it.
Touch it if you got it. I will say, like,
if
you're gonna bully someone online, pick a skater who, like, you know, doesn't have a super online presence. Romsky is, like, obviously very online. He's on YouTube. Like, he's a kid. Like, I mean, whatever. They're all kids. They're all, like, in their teens and 20s. Like, don't pick on them if they're gonna see it, which they probably are, because a lot of them are Zoomers. Second of all,
just wrong.
You're just wrong.
I saw someone be like, oh, he can't skate and he doesn't have skating skills. And I'm like, do you, though? Like, can you do what he's doing?
He does, though. That's like what he has. And also, I think that now I said this. I drink every time I say I said this on Twitter, because I can't have an original thought without tweeting it first. But I think
workshopping at the jokes. It's if it gets like, it's a good joke. If it gets like, if it gets likes, many of them.
Yeah. So follow me on Twitter for like early access to my jokes. But I think that now that there's no Russia competing, a lot of the most controversial and polarizing figures have retired or are taking time off. It's all kind of like these fairly non-offensive people who were like not in the conversation before. There's just like grasping at straws to make up the most convoluted, like absolutely far-fetched drama. It's like a Mad Lib. It's like, oh no, like Kaori Sakamoto tripped and spilled a juice on Ekaterina Kurikova and now they're fighting. It's like, this is like fake shit. That didn't happen, but that's the kind of shit where it's like, no, you have to.
The girls are fighting.
The girls are fighting, like, Kaomiura, like,
we should
stole.
Make one of those things where it's, like, your
he didn't steal anything.
Birthday
I won't finish.
And, like, the color of the shirt you're wearing right now, and you combine them and you have your most recent figure skating drama.
It's true. I also want to say I started a bit where I said Kaomiura stole, and then I didn't finish it. So that's just the other one. It's just Kaomiura just steals. No, but anyway.
He's a raging kleptomaniac, actually. He's stolen something from everyone in that locker room.
He's every the horse from over the garden wall who says, I want to steal. No, Roman also did a really beautiful donut spin, which I felt like really honored my culture as somebody from the greater Boston area, because we love our donkeys.
He might have just done it because he was there. It's a site-specific donut spin.
A site-specific donut is something that can be so personal.
What else? Do we have more stuff to say about men?
Sena Miyake is the king of romance.
I don't want to invented romance.
He's so the right choice to play these romantic lead characters of like Jack from Titanic and like, what was the short? He did another like...
He did something romantic. Else that was beautiful. Let me... motherfucker, he did Unchained Melody is what he did.
Yeah, it's like he's the romantic lead. I don't want to know how old he is because I'm going to say that I think for the like... however many minutes he's on the ice, like, you just can't not have a crush on him because he's, like, romantically in a movie. And I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I wept at his Titanic. I have talked about my relationship with Titanic, the movie, not the historical event, in the past. I feel like I find spiraling to Celine Dion so personal, and I respect him for it so deeply. Yeah. Yeah, this is easily one of my favorite programs of this event, personally. Yeah,
a lot of man spirals, which I appreciated. And I also want to say, I like Liam Kapakis. I don't think I could have told you. I know I've seen him. I don't think I could have really told you anything specific about him before this event. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, he has, like, Camden energy, where he's, like, yeah, just, he like, really. I mean, it's like, yeah, he did Moulin Rouge, so that's like a nice comparison. But, like, he's right to do Moulin Rouge because he also has that like romantic lead, expressive, lyrical kind of quality to him.
I'm a fan, like,
yeah, I'm a fan now.
It was interesting because we weren't in the same room or like even talking to each other. And I feel like at the exact same time from you from your personal and me from Podmain tweeted that we're stans now. So I feel like this is officially a Liam Kapakis stan podcast.
Yeah, so that's what you call a double blind study.
That's congratulations to all the boys. They were all fantastic. I simply cannot wait to do this again with them next week in Canada. Should we take a break? Is this break time?
Yes, we should. All right, welcome to the break.
Welcome to the break. What do we have here?
I don't know that we have anything crazy unusual. We have a Patreon is what we have here. If you want to hear bonus episodes, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/iced tea pod, where for a small donation each month, you can join an amazing crew of people who make things happen, like this show and me going to Skate America and then talking about it on this show.
And just in general, helping us keep the lights on in this operation, patreon.com/iced tea pod. You have access to like going on 4 years of content all over there. There is simply people with motorcycles doing a drag race outside my house right now. And for $5 or above on Patreon, I will live stream that straight to your house, I guess. What else? Yeah. If you like what we do here and you want to counteract people who are mean because we say fuck a lot, you can go ahead and give us 5 stars on a podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. Also, it makes me happy, but it does help. Drives us up the charts, lets people know that we're worth listening to and all of that good shit.
They're going to say that people know we're worthless.
Let's people know that we suck.
Yeah, it's great. And finally, we want to say we will probably not go as hard on this for the rest of the season, maybe. But just because it's our first episode, we want to let you know we have another podcast, and it's called Quest Laid Plans, and it's a D&D podcast. If you are interested at all in D&D or fantasy or just like anything else me and Netta are doing, I DM this podcast, and Netta is a player on it. And there are also other awesome players. And the story is about a group of heroes who saved the world. And then they're now having their like 10-year reunion of that event. And they're kind of noticing how they've changed and how they've gotten more powerful, less powerful, how they're...
And nothing bad happens to them.
Nothing bad happens at all. Wink.
You can find that at questlaidplans.com or questlaidplans.com. Plans on Twitter and Instagram. We also have a Patreon for that, but we can talk to you about that once you've listened to it and liked it. Find us there. Megan's very good at DMing. She makes us very sad and very scared a lot. It's great.
Oh, thank you. Yes, check us out there. And I believe that's everything. We have a Buy Me a Coffee, right? If you want to just give us a little cash one time.
Yeah, if you want to support Megan's donut habit when she's at events, buymeacoff.ee/iced pod, and you can just tip us and we would be very appreciative.
Yeah. And we'll talk about our social media stuff at the end. But yeah, hit us up. Send us like messages. Let us know what you would like us to cover. If you have like a cool bonus episode idea or something, we would love to hear from you. We love making friends and we have a very cool community of listeners. And we are super excited that you are a part of it. We want to hear from you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Back to the show.
Back to the show. I just think that women.
I just think that women.
That's the only thing I think is women.
I wake up every day. I wake up
and every I just day. Think I wake up women. I think about women, particularly Amber Glenn, who came in third and won the bronze medal at Skate America 2022.
Grand Prix medalist Amber Glenn.
It's so powerful.
It's so powerful. It's so personal. It is simply so much. She looked gorgeous in both of her looks. Also, she reads her indirects on Twitter because she liked all of my tweets that have her name in it. And two of them were just the exact same thing. And it was the fact that she looked like the coolest bitch at the Hunger Games. And she agrees with me. Amber both of her costumes.
Her costumes. I will say, like, speaking of, like, be careful about talking shit on people about people on Twitter. Like, Amber, I will say, is one of the ones who does, like, check her indirects. So, like, don't she be a does. Dick to people. Like, don't be – why would you say anything mean about Amber Glenn? But if you did, like, say it on Priv, she'll see it.
Yeah, just don't be mean to people to begin with. But, like, if you're going to be mean, like, find a smart way. No, putting, like, a little asterisk in there is not enough. We see
no, in fact,
shit.
That just makes it more hurtful. I don't know why, but I don't like the asterisk. It hurts me.
Yeah, I used to be, like, viscerally upset by people doing the asterisk. And now sometimes I do it for a bit. But there was a time in my life where I was like, this is so pointed. This is worse somehow.
Yeah. Anyway, Amber had a fantastic competition, and I want to, first of all, for anybody who doesn't know, she is the only out member of the U.S. women's figure skating, like, ladies' women's team. She identifies as bi and pan, so if you see her with the pride flags and people in the audience with the pride flags, that's everybody's way of being like, we see you, we love you, we love representation. And so that's been really cool that she's been, like, competing for several seasons now, being out and being like, I'm here. And I'm wearing a dangly earring with a Venus symbol on it.
The dangly earring with a Venus symbol on it. My house lost our shit because we were like, oh my God, it's a dangly earring. That's bi culture. And then we, like, looked closer and we were like, you're so fucking valid. Everything about this is simply fantastic. I am not being dramatic when I say that I simply weep anytime those fucking pride flags go up in the audience. I just think it's so powerful. And also, there's just something to this fucking woman performing the way she does and then seeing the pride flags as the backdrop to that, because she did have a fantastic competition. And I know that if you ask her, she would be like, there's notes and there's things that she probably wishes could have gone differently. I personally, like, I would have loved to see a triple axel in the free, obviously, because it would have been, I think it might have, like, killed me, to be honest. But seeing that one red box in her little component, like, her little score box, and then seeing everything else for the rest of the program lighting up green because she was fucking pissed. Poetic cinema.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah, you love to see the fire. And I think that it must be so frustrating, right, to nail a triple axel 1,000 times over perfectly in practice, and then just, like, it just sucks if it doesn't happen in competition. And but what I will say is that Amber, and she knows this, because she always, I find this very relatable as somebody who's also, like, very critical and, like, always wants to be the one who says what I did wrong before anyone else can. Like, every time she's in the Kiss and Cry, she always is like, okay, well, I did this and I blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but she, so she, I think, has said many times in the Kiss and Cry, like, I wish I could just get a clean free skate. I wish I could just do a good free skate because my shorts are good. And that's her thing, is, like, she's a short program skater. And then, like, the free skate has always been, like, I'll say the white whale, because my little bit of trivia is that at Skin America 2 years ago, I threw her a plushy white whale and aww, she took it and took it to the Kiss and Cry. So that's aww, my little shout out to me.
Shout out to Megan, everyone.
Shout out to me. But anyway, she, she did it. I mean, it was gorgeous. And like, it got her on the podium. And I think personally, like, I haven't looked at score numbers closely enough to say, oh, I think she should have scored high enough to get silver, because I don't actually know the numbers. I do think she should have gotten higher PCS than Isabeau, which we will talk about. I think that she typically gets robbed for PCS because she skates in a style that's a little bit more like strong and athletic, a la like Kaori Sakamoto, as opposed to like little ballerina like Isabeau Levito, which are both valid and pretty, but we all know that the judges are kind of like, I don't know if sexism biased is the right word, but yeah, they're biased towards like a more traditional femininity movement style that I think Amber embodies, but like, whatever. She did gorgeously. I love, love, love the blue to like bronzy ombre, the ombre Glen of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, that, God. I am obsessed with both of her looks. I'm not sure who did the catsuit because I haven't seen it tagged. I know the free skate dress is Alyssa McKinnon. Of course it is. And the length of it is perfect. The cutouts are perfect. The little glove moment is perfect. It's just, all of it is fantastic. Also, whoever toned her hair is a god. As a person who's had like a little bit of silver in my hair for years and years and years, the color she's rocking is truly magical that she's achieved it, and so expensive. Not in just like the money sense. It's just like
hard to get it. Yeah, to get it that like hue of silver.
Yeah,
it's
amazing. And also she just like fucking the stacked ponytails at this point, iconic. No one else is doing it like her. The crown braid, fantastic. It's just, I don't know if she does her own hair. Whoever does her hair is just genius. It's great.
Yeah, nothing but good things to say about Amber, and I really hope that this is, like, a big confidence boost for her and she can go into, because it's just consistency with her. It's always just been consistency. It's never been a question of talent or ability, so.
God, yeah. Also, people who are counting her out of the conversation, hey, fuck you.
Yeah. I think that is a mistake, and I think that Amber will continue to show you that is a mistake. Yeah. So I don't
always
have to
think
tell
it's
you.
A little bit annoying when people are like doom and gloom about like, oh, the state of the sport. I'm like, are you watching? Are you watching the sport, or are you just like looking for reasons to be bitter on the internet?
Yeah, there's a certain kind of fan who I think like their enjoyment of the sport is derived from like talking about how it sucks now and it used to be better, and like they somehow enjoy that, but it's like a real downer for the rest of us who are having fun.
Yeah, it's if you're not gonna have fun at the party, don't go to the party. That's my piece of I'm a nightlife performer, I know what I'm talking about. If you're not gonna have fun at the party, don't go to the fucking party. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm a person who doesn't like going to parties, and so I usually don't go to parties, and that's valid.
There you go. Like, sometimes you know that the event is happening and you're like, I hope everyone has fun at this. Like, my roommate really likes going to raves and stuff, and he likes EDM and all of that. And anytime he goes to a thing, he's like, please feel invited. I know you're not gonna come, but like, please know that you're invited. And then I'm like, I appreciate that. I will not be joining you because it's not my thing anymore. Like, it's never been. And I feel like that's the same thing. If you want to watch tapes from 12 years ago and be like, this is the peak of figure skating, all of it is on the internet. You can just do that.
Yeah. Also, sidebar, fuck the old people who were mean to me at Skate America. I can't go to a single skating event without old people being mean to me. Although I will say at this, no old men did not inappropriately touch me at this one.
Yay.
Which is a step up from previous ones. But I did get like scolded in a really rude way by this old couple who like refused to let me into my own row when I had come back from the bathroom because it was the middle of someone's program, which like on the surface I can see that, but like they were really rude and unnecessarily mean about it. And also that super wasn't the vibe in the arena. Like everyone was like walking around, milling around, the lights were fully up.
I was gonna say,
obviously,
if it was like the fucking like Sydney Opera and you had gotten up to pee in the middle of like an aria, I'd be like, maybe not. But we could see on stream that it was just like a rowdy crowd and there was movement.
Everyone was getting up in the middle of things. It was whatever. I was just like, I don't understand why we need to yell at people. But so just don't yell at people at skating competitions. Just be really nice and polite to people and don't make yourself someone else's problem. Like, I, for instance, really don't like it when people talk through like really loud, like other people's programs or even like in between. But I recognize that they're allowed to do that. And so I just bring earplugs and I don't make it someone else's problem.
There
like,
you go.
Just think about what you need and then just make it
accommodate yourself
you.
Accordingly.
Yeah.
In silver we have Isabeau Levito.
I love her, and I think she's so cute. I think, like, I mean, I'm not going to take it out on her that I think that Amber should have gotten higher PCS than her. I also don't really know how PCS works anymore because it's only got three categories now. No, but, like, I'm like, why did they think that would be better if we made it more simple? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe? I'm looking at the rubric right now, and I'm just confused about it.
One of them is called composition, and then one of them, in the explanation of what it is, says composition. And so I'm like, what is it? Did you make it worse somehow? And really, the problem with
PCS, oh my god, we just bitched about those people, and now we're those people.
Okay, but the problem with PCS is that it was never used correctly. And so changing it is not going to make anyone use it more or less correctly. So I honestly don't even know what to say. I just kind of pretend I do not see it at this point.
Yeah.
But I like Isabeau, and I think she's really cute and has a lot of potential.
I'm not sold yet. And I'm not saying that to be contrary. She's charming. She looks like she would have bullied me in middle school, and maybe that's what I'm responding to.
You say that about a lot of people, and it, like, every time I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm, like, learning about how hard middle school was.
Middle school was very hard.
Fuck you if you bullied Netta in middle school. You're going sure to the same hell that the old people who are mean to me at Skate America are going to.
I'm sure they're not listening. No, she's fine. She's a very charming kid. I feel like she has so much growing to do, and I feel like my response to her was very much colored by the ISU commentary, which the entire time was like, oh, she's giving Kari a run for her money, and, like, Kari's, like, getting away with this by the skin of her teeth, and I'm like, are we watching the same thing? They were talking about, like, them being, like, in the same wheelhouse in terms of, like, skating skills and presentation, and I'm like, all due respect, there is basically no one on this roster who could compare. And I'm talking about a bunch of my favorites. And I'm talking about, like, Crazy Fucking Gold. Like, it's insane to try to convince me that this child is already at the level.
Well, like, yeah, it's like, what I will say is that I think that Isabeau Levito is incredible at her sport. And I think that Kaori Sakamoto is incredible, nay, the best at her sport. And those sports are two different sports because one is juniors. And, like, that's what, you know what I mean? Like, I said this on Twitter, but I really, having seen this competition without Russia, which means that the average age went up by, like, 25 years. And so it was, like, when there was a very young skater who skated very junior, had, not to be weird and creepy, but, like, a more young appearance, and thus, like, moved accordingly, and then also just was younger, like, it just was so much more obvious in a way because it wasn't so saturated with it.
Yeah.
And that made me think, like, maybe we should have moved the age limit up a little faster. I understand why it's not really fair to the Isabeau Levitos in particular, and maybe the Ilya Melanins, but it just, like, I don't really get who it's benefiting right now. It just
next question.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah. What I will say, the reason I like Isabeau is because I think that she's bringing something really special and unique, which is that she skates the entire program, like, as one long languid movement. Like, it feels like she's like a wind-up doll, and it's just all, like, one long thing.
Yeah.
And you don't see that very often. And she has this very balletic, pointed toe. Like, I was going to say, like, very, I don't want to compare her to Sasha Cohen in any way other than I think they are just both bringing a lot of ballet to the table. Mm-hmm. And I know that her free skate was also, like, a big Sasha Cohen, like, warhorse song, so I thought that was, like, pretty apt. I did sort of question, like, I don't know, apparently, so we were both right about the free skate, by the way. I said, is this a Russian song, and you said it was Portuguese, and I think that it is in, like, either Spanish or Portuguese, the lyrics, but it is from a Russian song. It's from, like, it's a song from a Russian movie.
Now I'm looking at it, I know what it is. Yeah. And someone skated to this last year.
Did they? I just know Sasha Cohen did, but
no, someone else did last year, because I remember being like, why are we doing this? Yeah.
Which I'm not gonna say, like, don't skate to Russian music. If she has a Russian choreographer, I don't know. It just was like an interesting choice. It was a fraught choice. It was the kind of choice where I'm like, I'd actually, now I have to engage with this and think about what I think about it. But I'm not going to because I don't feel like it. I think that she skates like a beautiful, like best junior in the whole world. But
seeing her next to the senior. Because she is the junior world champion.
Yeah.
She is her next to the junior world champion.
Precisely. Seeing her next to the seniors. And I understand the impulse to be like, oh, put her in the ring because we don't have anybody in America, which is so not true because we saw Amber and we saw Gracie, who we'll talk about in a second, who is like in the conversation in the second group.
It absolutely fucking is.
Yeah. So we can give Isabeau some time, especially because I think that she has shown already that she's got, I think kids in general, like younger skaters, like are just a little more emotional anyway. If you remember like Alyssa Liu at that age, but she's, you know, there's tears and there's like really visible like disappointment when things don't go perfectly. And that worries me in a skater that's under that much pressure that young. So I'm like, I want for Isabeau like an Alyssa Liu kind of attitude in life you know, that's what I want.
Yeah, and we know that she has, like, Eastern European people. I'm not sure if they're Russian. That sounded like I'm, like, avoiding saying the word Russian. I'm just, like, looking at her list of folks that coach her. And I'm not sure if all of them are Russian, but they're, like, Slavic for sure. And I really fucking hope. I don't fucking know, girl. But I really fucking hope that she is being cared for the way she deserves. Because, I have seen Slavic coaching in action, not in Russia, but in a Slavic country, and a lot of it is very old school, and I hope that she is taking care of herself. And I'm not trying to insinuate anything or start anything or, like, claim anything, and before anyone comes for me, I am Slavic, so I get to do this. But yeah, I hope she's not being, like, old school coached, because no one deserves that.
Yeah, she does seem like really, really sweet. She in the what's it called, press conference, had said that she Kaori is like one of her big heroes, and she was like freaking out and fangirling, and she kept saying like every time we were in the locker room, I was like, oh my god, should I ask her for a selfie? Like it's very cute.
So cute. I honestly respect her. I would have fucking freaked out.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who was walking in the arena and then looked over and I was like 4 inches from Ashley Wagner, who was walking in step with me, I like completely froze and was like, oh, I should have said hi to her, but she looked like she had somewhere to be.
Yeah.
So I relate to the like freezing in front of your heroes thing.
Oh, but for sure.
It's like normal when I do it. When you're Isabeau Levito and you're also like really good, it's kind of cute.
It is cute. Speaking of cute. Speaking of cute, I'm making gestures because I can't find the words. Kari Sakamoto won gold, as she should have. That's your current reigning world champion, your Olympic bronze medalist. And my God, she's back.
It feels so good and correct.
There's simply no words for the way this woman skates. It's so just so correct.
It's just what I want to see.
Yeah.
Like, I think that there are certain moments in, like, art in general. Like, if you're listening to music, if you're watching a movie, and you just, everything is exactly the way you want it. If you were to say, like, what do I want the next note to be? What do I want the next instrument to be? What do I want the next scene to be? What do I want the character to say next? And then it's, like, everything is exactly what you want it to be. That's how I feel when I watch Kaori skate. It's, like, the running edge is always long. God. The jump technique is always perfect. It's, like, everything's connected. Everything's exactly placed where I want it to be.
There's simply not a single beat that's off. And it just works so well for her, and she looks gorgeous, and her costumes are both great. I will say I'm not thrilled about the Sia situation, but that's fine.
No, I'm not either. I think that, and Sia's a weird one, because I feel like I was, like, a big, huge Sia fan, and then I, like, learned about the whole thing with music and whatever, the movie called Music, which, first of all, is confusing. Call your movie something less confusing, Sia.
Oh, yes, the movie.
Yeah, we're calling it movie. We're calling it bad autism representation, the movie. And so obviously I was like, that sucks and I hate it. But it just seems like as far as cancellations go, that one was not like one of the most widely known. And so like it feels weird to be like, oh, Sia, and then have a lot of people be like, oh, but why?
Yeah.
But because I was a huge Sia fan, and now I'm kind of like, nah. And so, like, I do love the song Elastic Heart, but, like, now it's, I wouldn't go listen to it now because it has, like, a weird taste in my mouth. But I do think that, I do like the lyrics for her, because it's very, like, it's about being resilient and, like, you can't break me, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, this is good. This is the Cowrie brand now.
It is the continuation of, like, I am a woman, like, independent, like, whatever the fuck. I also appreciate that she has to, like, assuming that she doesn't, like, know the discourse and everything and her team doesn't care for that, like, having, like, two very cool, strong female singers as both of her programs is also very cool. Like,
yeah.
Janet fucking rocks. It's so
cool. I love her doing Janet. Like, I loved Katya Kurakova doing Janet, but, like, I'm not sure the vibe was exactly right. I think the vibe is more correct with Cowrie because it's very, like, there's a certain brand of, like, grown-up woman kind of, like, like, gendery, powery kind of dynamic exploration in Janet Jackson's whole deal that I think works for Cowrie, especially with the big haircut and, like,
God, the haircut.
The haircut, like, it's crush city over here. But we were really, really into when she did No Roots a few seasons ago, and it was like, this is what she should be doing, but maybe it's not the right time yet. And these feel like the next generation of that, where it's like, now it is the right time for her to do this type of kind of, like, edgy pop rock girl power.
I feel like program. If she did No Roots now, I would go into cardiac arrest, and that would be the end of me. Like, truly.
Yeah. In retrospect, now looking back, No Roots did feel like kind of like a teenager playing dress up as, like, oh, this is the kind of woman I want to be. And now she, like, is that woman.
Aww. I will say I did witness No Roots live at IDF 2019. And it very nearly killed me then.
Yeah, she, what I loved about her and her again, why can't I remember the word for press conference? And her press conference interview was that they asked her, like, what way has your life changed since you won the world champion? She's like, well, it hasn't been that much, hasn't been that long. Basically, I get a lot more, like, opportunities to do ads and stuff now, and people in my hometown know who I am, but that's it.
Which is just so charming. She's funny. She has such a sense of humor. I was dying over, like, the gala moments with her, like, with a flag on her head, just, like, wobbling around. She's so charming. I just love her so much.
I just think, like, the thing that a person can do to endear themselves to me quicker than anything else in the whole world is just make, like, stupid, ugly faces.
Just,
like,
be goofy.
I don't know why, but
just
people who make, like, goofy, ugly faces as part of just, like, talking is so endearing to me. And I love it when skaters do it in particular because they're usually so, like,
beautiful and
put
stoic.
Together. Yeah, beautiful and stoic. And so when they can be, like, goofy, like, I, like, Yuzu actually is, like, the example I'm thinking of. He always makes, like, silly faces and stuff. So I just think it's fun when Cowrie does it. I like it. I just think she's neat.
Last night, after the women's free skate, I texted my mom and I said, Cowrie won her first gold of the season and also I'm going to bed. And my mom said, well done to both of you. And I just wanted to let y'all know that that happened because I found it so funny. I was like, yeah, those are equally as important in terms of achievement is me walking to my bedroom and Cowrie doing what she did.
Yeah, well done to both of you.
Well done to both of us. My God, she's so, so, so good. I'm just, it's been like this since the Olympics and then World, obviously. I've been telling everyone for years and years and years, and it feels so good and correct for her to be getting all of her flowers now.
Yes, feels so good. And it's also nice to see a women's skater, like, go through an arc where they can be, like, at the beginning of their career and really promising, and then mid-career and everyone's rooting for them, but it doesn't quite come together yet. And then, like, later career, it does come together and they win world champion. And then, like, after they get to continue their career and do another, you know, however many seasons and keep pushing themselves, like, that full arc is something that's denied to women in this sport so often. And I really hope that that's something we can see maybe change in the future. And I like that Cowrie's, like, leading the way. Not that others haven't, and we'll talk about Gracie Gold in a second, but just right now at this moment in this sport, to have the top woman be a little older and more experienced and like still getting better and better and better. Perfect.
But also she's 22 years old.
Well, yeah, sadly, that's a little older for women singles.
Yeah, yeah. So congrats to Kari, and we're thrilled and can't wait to see her at the final, because she will be at the final. She will win the final. This is my prediction. Let's talk about Gracie Gold. Let's do honorable mentions. I want to talk about Gracie Gold.
I think that Gracie Gold is one of the skaters that I've seen more often than any other skater live in person, if I think about it. Because I've seen her at least four times in person.
Amazing. I appreciate that you started that, and my brain just assumed that you were going to say, I think Gracie Gold is one of the skaters of all time.
Oh, but she is. That's not me thinking that. That is simply the truth.
She is one of the most skaters of all time.
She is one of the most skaters of all time. If you're not familiar with Gracie Gold, I would say just like read up on her. She's had quite a journey. She's like been in the game for a long time. She's been taking time out for health reasons. She's been like a really amazing advocate for like all the things that are wrong with the sport and fixing them and being really transparent about mental health stuff. And now she's at a stage where it's not just like, oh, look how brave she is. It's like, yeah. Oh, she's really good still.
She is very much back in this fucking conversation. And I feel like she felt this way around, like this event, because we've seen this journey back and it hasn't been easy. She's had like some tough competitions since she decided to come back. And this time it was just working. It just worked. Like, there was one fall in the free, in the short that, you know, maybe was a blemish on what it would have been, like, a historic short otherwise. But in general, just, she's back. Like, seeing her in the second group at the free skate just felt so good.
Yeah, and her getting her triple lutz, triple toe finally, yes. That was like, oh my God, it was like that was the thing for her. That was like the challenge of getting that back, and has been for the past several years of her comeback and her finally landing it in competition and also being the oldest woman to do so in competition, which is like insane. But anyway, yeah, that was just great. It's just great to see her perform more the way she wants to perform. And
looked gorgeous, both of her dresses. She
always.
She owns the color green at this point. No one mm-hmm. wears green quite like she does, and I'm obsessed with it because it's one of my favorite colors as well. She just looked so beautiful, and the free skate dress is stunning. I know we're doing bits about it, but it's a very good dress. I'm just thrilled, and I'm very, very excited to see where this season goes for her.
Yeah, I think that other than that, again, like for the women, I think just it was just wonderful to see so many faces. Nicole Shott, Aliska Brezhneva, who I've been saying that wrong apparently, or they've been saying it wrong at Skating Club Boston, because that happens too. But Katya Kurakova is always a fucking joy, always, every time. Hanley is my favorite Korean lady right now, I think.
Yeah, same. We talked about this. The Korean field right now is incredible, and all of them are very, very good, and they have so much potential. But I think Hayan is my personal favorite as well.
I still think Hayan should have gone to the Olympics, but she definitely did amazing in all her other international events back half of last season. And I hope that as she gets more comfortable with her programs this season, that we can see like even more greatness from her.
Also, I just want to say a quick shout out to whoever does like literally all of Team Korea's dresses. And I'm not sure if it's the same person. We've talked about this before. It's just the style of them. I was watching with friends because we had people over and we were just like hanging out watching both of the events. And at some point, people in my house who are not like figure skating fans and don't understand, like they would just look at a dress and be like, is that a Korean dress? And I'd be like, yup. Because they're just like in a field of their own in terms of like how gorgeous their dresses are.
Yeah, well,
like
we gotta,
all of them. I don't know.
Figure out who does them, because it's like, I think it's like the signatures of the designers. Because if you think about like Team USA, a lot of them are doing Lisa McKinnon. Lisa McKinnon has like a very specific style of like ombre and sparkles and stuff that she does. And like, then if we think about like Team Japan, like they also, there are a lot of them are with Satomi Ito, who does a lot with texture and like appliques and like pearls and flowers and building things up very 3D. And then if you look at the sort of Korean signatures, both with the men and the women, it's like these really gorgeous, flowy, like silhouettes of like movement. It's about movement.
It is. I feel like Lisa McKinnon had done one for one of them, and it still looked like that style. And I'm trying to find which one it is because I can't remember. But I feel like there's like a show bible for like the Korean Federation, where it's like, hey, and, like, this if is what it could look like. I have no idea. I'm just noticing it.
No, but I think if we're noticing it, then certainly people who do fashion and costume design for a living would notice. Yeah. And I think that's really cool that you can be like, oh, well, I'll honor the Korean traditional, not traditional, but you know what I mean? Like the Korean style of contemporary skating costumes, even though I'm American. Like, I think that's, yes. That's something I enjoy about the sport is like the little quirks of like just things that are not official in any way, but just kind of show up as patterns in different feds. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. This was such a good first event. I'm just like looking at protocols and I'm like, I'm so happy we're back.
We are back, and it would not be a true iced tea pod episode without Plushie Corner.
Oh my God, we're back.
We're back. We did not have Plushie Corner for like the entire quarantine phase of the pandemic because everyone was worried about like a Velveteen Rabbit situation, germs on a teddy bear moment.
God, yes.
But we're back. And I had heard a rumor that the ISU was going to ban them going forward, and I was really upset. So I don't know what the truth to that is, but I'm happy they were here this time. And every Plushie event is a blessing.
I feel like it's such an integral – wow. I feel like it's such an integral part of the event that it just feels different when it's happening. It just makes me so happy.
Yeah, we are at a point now where we have so many that I have to pick and choose, which is a great place to be in. This is back where we used to be back in the day. First of all, shout out to little sweeper kids at the event. There was one who was a little black boy, which I hate to be like, aww, oh, look at this black kid, because like that's not what I mean. But like in skating, unfortunately, that is a rarity to see like any black child, let alone a black boy. And the fact that he was out there, he was skating like as fast as he could, and he looked so friggin' happy. You could just tell he loved it. And I was like, yes, future diversity on ice.
Amazing. I love that.
So I loved him.
We didn't really get to see the kids because the stream, like the way it was set up, for some reason, like most of what we were seeing was not, there was not a lot of ice collection of like things on ice collection that was shown, except we did see Liam Kapakis try to get his stuff from a child who just like would not let him, which was maybe my favorite part of the entire event, was Liam just like chasing after a child who would not let him have his plushie.
Yeah, that was penguin theft in the first degree. I was actually like in prime seating place to see the kids all getting corralled by like whoever is the volunteer or their coach or whatever. Aww. And like making them line up and take turns and being like, you're next. And like, it was really cute. They were all really excited.
So cute.
But anyway, so let's see. Okay, so Sena Miyake got a mysterious green alien duck. I wrote green alien duck backpack with a police siren on its head. And then we found out, thanks to one of our wonderful listener friends on Twitter, Icy Petit Pois, they have let us know that that is the mascot of Sena Miyake's hometown. So somebody like
it's
brought
him. It's Kapi.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but that's what I'm going with, is Yakapi. And it's so cute that someone knows that and like has made it a part of his kiss and cries. Also, it's a fantastic mask. I'm obsessed with regional mascots. I think they're so fun. And Weird Green Duck is definitely one of the better ones.
It is. Amber Glenn in the short got a puppy in the colors of the bi flag, which was very cute.
Amazing.
Isabeau has, in the tradition of Evgenia Medvedeva, has like a Sailor Moon Luna cat as her like personal like tissue. I don't know if it's a tissue box or if it's just a friend, but she has two of them. And in the short program, she made them kiss, which was great.
Good for her.
Very good for her. There were some eagles being thrown around in the women's free. Nicole Schott got an eagle. Somebody else got an eagle, but it was different. It was a different eagle. I'll find it.
There was a bunch of...
Oh, like, Katya got another, in parentheses, different eagle.
Different eagle. There was also a bunch of people getting, I'm assuming, some sort of beanie babies, but they were just long, and I couldn't tell if they were cats or dogs. So all of my personal notes say floppy creature, maybe floppy dog creature. And,
oh, yeah, a long creature.
And a bunch of people got them, and it very much felt like the same person was throwing all of them at everyone. And I always respect a person who brings plushies for everyone. It just makes me happy.
Yeah, I love that you wrote in your notes, Mikhail also got a long creature. That's like a great sentence. Liam got a mood-changing cat creature that he flipped to the grumpy side.
It was one of those, like, you know, like, it's usually like octopuses, but this one wasn't. But it was one of those things that, like, is reversible, and it was, like, on the funny side, and he didn't have the best skate, so he, like, turned it over to the grumpy side and, like, showed it off to the camera. No. Which I appreciate as, like, a communication method for the kiss and cry.
It's very effective. I will say Amber in the free got a boba plushie, which was very cute. We also saw Kaori get a Kirby, which was so cute.
We lost our shit about the Kirby. It was so good. Whoever gave her this Kirby, thank you for your service.
And I would like to close out by saying that the most important, and if we're doing awards, the winner for me for the plushie corner was Junwon at his free skate received. And it's like very important to me that I like really narrate this story of like seeing these plushies go out in this order. The first plushie that went out, it was like a plushie carton of milk and it didn't have a face. And that is what I was thinking of when I said they don't have to have a face earlier necessarily. No face, just a plushie carton of milk by itself. It was there for like 10 seconds alone. And the women behind me, who were like hilarious, by the way, they were like, what does it mean? They just kept saying, what does it mean?
What does it mean?
And then someone threw out, and I think it was the same person, like a plushie bread and like a plushie egg, but those had faces and they all kind of landed together and seemed thematically similar, but I don't know if they were related.
They just gave him breakfast.
They just gave him breakfast. But the milk, I think, I have a picture of just like the lone milk sitting on the ice and I was like, this is art.
We should tweet that as part of the promo for this episode.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was art to me. I think that's the winner of Plushie Corner. I don't know what it means to this day, but I think some things are better left unknown.
Sometimes, again, we're experts in performance theory, and sometimes it's just better to not know.
That's true. So with that, we will move on to Social Media Corner.
Social Media Corner is back. There is just a few things. First of all, the quad god himself, Ilya Melanin, is funny. He's a king. I'm sure y'all have seen the video, the screenshot going around of him threatening to disqualify himself if people mispronounce his name as Melanin in particular.
Yeah, he's like, it's on good Snapchat.
When people have jokes.
I love that. I love it. I want to hear them be real about the things that we like think about. It's time to be real.
How dare you? What a segue. It is time to be real. You know who doesn't know how be real works?
Aside from me.
Aside from you, I keep trying to get Megan on Be Real and she isn't into it.
I'm in the car like 90% of the time and that's
like
all
you can see.
It's
fine. I'm at my desk 90% of the time and I still do it. It's fun. It's a good time. Get on Be Real. I'm on Be Real. Add me on Be Real, everyone. No, but Jason Brown, who again isn't competing in the Grand Prix this year, but he was there as like a journalist for USFS, which was a genius fucking move because he's so charming and he's friends with everyone, so it was fantastic. But they posted, USFS posted this screen cap of him attempting to do a Be Real with the Team USA ice dancers, all of whom medaled, and it was great. And God bless him, he just didn't know that the front camera also goes off, and it's just this blurry selfie, and it's just very charming to me. It is time to be real.
It is time to be real. I want to finish out with a hearty congratulations to the queen herself, Yuna Kim, who got married.
Yay.
To the guy from Forestella. Do you know Forestella, Netta? Are you
I
familiar?
Do not know Forestella, and I saw your notes, which peek behind the curtain, say in all caps, do you fucking know about Forestella? I do not know what Forestella is, and I'm a freak.
You're going to lose your shit. You're going to love Forestella.
Okay, okay, I'm listening.
So Forestella has become this thing that I watch occasionally with my friend Jules, who was the one who discovered it. And it's I think they became popular on this Korean show called like Legendary Songs or like Legend Songs or something. Probably the more knowledgeable Koreaboos in the listening audience know what I'm talking about. But it's like instead of Eurovision, they have like this competition show where they do covers basically, and they got really famous. It's this quartet. They do like harmonies like four tenor style, but it's not totally a cappella. They have kind of like epic movie trailer music underneath.
Oh,
and
God,
like
okay.
They're just like four handsome guys and they sing like really dramatic shit. But on that show, they did a really, really, really epic, like intense cover of The Sounds of Silence. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that the one that Yuna Kim married is this like guy with this really, really, really deep bass voice who was like, "Hello, darkness, my old friend."
Oh my God.
They also do a cover of Ed Sheeran's The Shape of You, which I highly recommend because they sing it in like 17 different languages. And it's not the obvious languages. They're pulling out like languages from Africa, languages from South America, like dialects. Like, it is insane. Wow. It is really good. They're very entertaining. It's kind of like if you wanted something halfway between like the three tenors or the four tenors or whatever, and what's that thing you like?
Pentatonics,
yes. And somewhere in the middle, and it was like cute Korean guys like BTS. Like, if that's what you want for Estella, it's kind of like you kind
the,
of laugh
because
it's
like the combination of...
It's the Venn diagram. It's like they're so serious that you kind of have to laugh at it, but you're also kind of into it.
Amazing. I will check them out. Also, I do want to say that you looked beautiful in all 27 of her dresses. All of the coverage from her wedding looked like a fucking fairy tale, and we're all very happy about all
because it was
it.
A royal
congrats.
Wedding. It was
it
a
was
royal
a
wedding.
Wedding. It was.
It is.
Hey, this has been a very long first episode back.
Yeah, damn, this is like season one style length.
We were so excited to be back and we just had so much to say. And if you're here and if you're listening, thank you so much. If this is your first time, oh my God, welcome. And if you're back for season fucking four, we did it. We're back. It's happening. It's the Grand
Prix.
We did
it, Reddit.
We did it, Reddit. And yeah, we're gonna finish this off with some, well, first of all, if you're still here and you're listening, this thing is only possible, like we said, during the break, because a lot of y'all help us keep the lights on in this home that we've built. I haven't heard either one of those songs yet, and I'm getting worried. Thank you so much. And Megan, do you want to regale me with this ever-growing, just shockingly growing list of Patreon supporters who make this possible?
Absolutely. And if it makes you feel better, I helped with a friend build my cat a new cat tree the other week, and we sang To Build a Home while we did it.
So. Oh, thank God.
Okay, so thank you so much to the Patreon patrons, Rhea, Elizabeth, Zoe, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandolin, Lily Putz, Ava, Robin is tired, no, trans and tired, and then a different Robin, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Linnea, Alina, Kenneth, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Marjorie, Natalie, Robert, Kate, Skating Scores, Vox, Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Barbara, Sunny, a different Barbara, Sally, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
Thank you so much. Nothing makes me happier than dancing along to y'all's names. If you want to join this fantastic group of people, again, that's patreon.com/icedteapod. We'll be back super soon with coverage for Skate Canada. In the meantime, Megan, if people want to find you on the internet, where are you?
I'm at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter, and I don't think I'm anywhere else at the moment. But I am at also Questlade Plans on Twitter. Is it Questlade Plans or Questlade Pod?
It's Questlade Plans.
It's Questlade Plans on Twitter. I know the handle of my own show. So check out that show there. And Netta, where can they find you?
I'm at Netta Marie on Twitter, Instagram, Be Real. I am on Be Real. Please add me. I need friends. And that's NEDA. And then Marie, just like any other Marie. And you can find both of us over at Iced Tea Pod on Twitter. We're so happy to be back. We're so excited to be covering the Grand Prix. And we will see you next week for Canada.
Bye.